Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, welcome everyone.
Hey. Hi.
Welcome back to another episode, your favorite podcast, Shuffology.
What?
If it's not, we don't need to know that. You don't need to tell us.
We don't need that feedback.
Only the hits, please.
Thank you.
And today we'll be discussing the hits of Musica Latina.
Yeah, what?
Latin music, they were very broad brushstroke for so many different cultures, Spanish, Puerto Rican, Portuguese, the vibrant streets of Cuba to the cultural melting pot of the Hispanic United States. And we'll be picking our five favorites for you, so let's get into it.
Right.
Coming up next, you're going to hear Asabi's choices. Stay tuned.
Golem has an unhealthy obsession about some bit of jewelry.
Doesn't even know what the precious is. Stupid therapist.
Cookie Monster's a bit of a stress eater.
Cookie, cookie, cookie!
And homicidal robots really just want their best friend back.
I know I did and said things that she regrets, but why is that my problem?
But what all these monsters really need is therapy. The podcast Therapy for Monsters finally puts monsters in the therapy chair with a real therapist. Me, Tim, your friendly neighborhood therapist. If you'd like to learn a bit and laugh a bit, check out Therapy for Monsters on your favorite podcast app.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
And we're back.
Yay!
We'll be listening to Asabi. Tell us, girl, what are your five choices of Musica Latina?
Yeah, what are we dancing to?
All right, so I love Latin music. I didn't know how much I loved it until I moved to California and was surrounded by it. So my list is going to spread from salsa through to merengue through to a bit of, I forget what, reggaeton. Right, so I've got a little bit of everything.
Mm.
So my first one is Suavemente by Elvis Crespo. I love this tune and it's so beautiful. It like starts off with this sort of a cappella verse of him singing about calling out to his lover to kiss him again softly so he can feel her lips. Like, it's beautiful. It's got horns, it's got congas, it's got this harmony of voices in the chorus. It's very rhythmic and it's very classic of merengue. And Elvis Crespo was born in New York but grew up in Puerto Rico, so he's what we call a New Yorican. And he was responsible for bringing merengue into the mainstream of America in the early 90s. So Suavemente was the first merenguero single to chop the tarts. So charts, chop the tarts. I cannot speak. I'm sorry.
Somebody please chop the tarts. Thank you.
I have a little bit of a cold, so I'm going to sound pretty funny. It's the first merenguero single to top the charts. I was about to do it again. And so it was number one on the Latin charts, number 106 on the Billboard Hot 100, and it's considered a huge crossover hit. The album is ranked as the most essential Latin album in the last 50 years by Billboard.
Mm.
Right.
Wow, yeah, so, high praise.
Yeah, so it's a great song. And most people recognize the song, you know, because he's just like, Suavemente. It's so beautiful. I'm not going to sing it because I can't speak Spanish.
yeah, I only get I'm the like, main chorus chunk.
Yeah, exactly. And that's about it. That's as much as I'm going to get. all right. My second tune is by the queen of Tejano music, Selena.
Selena.
Yes. A Texas-born favorite. She was, yes, straight out of Texas. As a matter of fact, Selena did not know how to speak Spanish until she started singing, and she learned Spanish to be able to be more accessible to her fans. So she had a lot of fans down in Mexico.
Didn't she originally start singing songs just phonetically? That's how she learned it?
Yes. Yeah. Yep, she sang phonetically.
And her whole family was the band.
Yeah, they were. They were, yeah. So it was just amazing homegrown talent there. And so the song I've chosen from Selena is Bitty Bitty Bum Bum. Love that song. So cute. It's off her Amor Prohibido album of 1994, which is when I first learned about Selena. So I'd moved to California in 1994, and she was huge in Southern California, as you would be. Excuse me. And it was also close to the time, I think she passed away in 95. So, which was quite sad. But I love this song because it's just a sweet, simple song. It's got a simple bass line. It makes you think of, you know, the fun summer days when you're falling in love with someone. And you're just, it's really kind of teenage love is what the song reminds me of. Now, it's a mix of Tejano and Mexican cumbia with a bit of a reggae feel to it. And what I found out was that the song was originally written about a cheerful fish swimming freely in the ocean. And the song's title is an onomatopoeic phrase suggesting the palpitating heartbeat of a person love-struck by the object of their affection. Right?
Okay, all right.
So onomatopoeic.
Yeah, onomatopoeic. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, bitty, bitty, bum, bum. So that's what a heartbeat sounds like when you're falling in love.
Like a cartoon style.
Yeah, right. You see that heart kind of like in the heart shape pounding out of the chest. Yeah, that's exactly what this is. Now, the tune was written by Selena and one of her backing vocalists, Pete Astudillo. And it's been covered by a number of different artists, including J-Lo and Selena Gomez,
yes.
Who was named because of Selena.
Yes, she was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Was also born in Texas. She's a Texas
yes,
girl.
Yes, that's right. And she was born in 1995, so right after Selena passed away, wow. Too. Yeah, so yeah. I thought that was a beautiful little homage. Now, my next song is one of my favorite Latin songs. Cannot sing it to save my life, but I do try. It is called La Negra Tiene Tumbao.
What did you call me?
Exactly, right? By the queen of salsa, Celia Cruz. Now, this was off of her album La Negra Tiene Tumbao, which was her 59th studio album released.
Oh my God.
I know, right? She was huge in Cuba and in southern parts of the U.S. It was released in 2001. Now, this song is a fusion of salsa and reggaeton, and it was written by Sergio George and Fernando Osorio, and it features one of Celia's most iconic phrases, which is azúcar, which means sugar. And so she would shout this out in between her songs, and people know her, you know, they just walk around, azúcar, azúcar. It's so amazing. She was so beloved by the Latin community. And so this song has everything that encompasses salsa. You know, you've got that hard-hitting piano. You've got the drums and the horns. It's very upbeat. It's energetic. It's super sexy. So it basically means the black girl has style, or she can move. That's basically what it translates to. And I love the chorus, which is just, La negra tiene tumbao y no camina de lao. And it's just, it's so much fun. And you have all these people singing. There's this little rap in the middle. It's just, it's amazing. So now this song was number 30 on the Billboard Latin charts and number 4 on the Billboard Tropical charts, which I'd never heard of. And it was also number 13 on the Tropical Digital in 2015. So it had a bit of a resurgence in 2015. In 2002, it was nominated for a Latin Grammy, and it was nominated for Tropical Song of the Year at the Lo Nuestro Awards, but it lost to another one of Celia Cruz's songs. So she lost to herself.
Clean it up, yeah.
That's right. So, but she was just a force in the Latin community, and you know, just so beloved. She passed away not too long ago.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes. I think in 2000... I want to say 9 or 2008, somewhere around there is when she passed away. Yep, yeah. It's quite sad. So now, my fourth tune, and I feel like I'm just kind of steamrolling through these.
Yeah, wrong button, sorry.
That's like, you're done, Asabi. Get off. All right. My fourth song. Now, this one, I tried so much to find some information about it because I honestly think it's a folk song that's been remixed. It's called Esa Nena Linda by Artie the One Man Party. And it's a bit of a sort of the reggaeton sort of house mix. So the mix that I like is mixed by Richard Humpty Vision. So remixed in 1996. And it was a house track single that was just released by Artie the One Man Party. It's everything that you'd want if you go clubbing. And so I used to go clubbing a lot when I was young. And we used to hear this in the clubs all the time because, you know, Southern California, so a huge Latinx influence there. So there's lots of electronic bass and drums, and it's got this hard-hitting sort of layered synthetic sound with lots of elements of 90s deep house. And there's some famous lyrics that are sampled, and I could not find them anywhere to tell you any information about them, but I've heard them in a number of different house tracks from the 90s. And if I could speak Spanish, I might even understand what they're saying, but I know at the very end it just says arritmo, which means the rhythm, and that's basically all I know. But it was a very popular house track back in the mid-90s. I heard it every club I went to, and so it's a lot of fun to dance to. Really good one.
And so the house track is a remix of this.
Yes, so the house track, it's Esa Nena Linda, and that it is a house track. And I want to say that it is. So from what I could find, what I could look up was that the lyrics are a famous nursery rhyme, but I couldn't find the original song that I think this house track is mixing.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yes, but this song, I mean, it was just very popular. I heard it everywhere. Mm. I even own the CD single. Don't ask me why, but I do. It was that good. All right, and my final song, which I have so many good memories of this song, just walking down the street, being pissed out of my brain and just shouting the one word from this song, which is Culo by Pitbull. And Culo basically means ass. So we would, and we would all sing it because we, again, it's another song that we heard in the clubs all the time. Didn't even know who Pitbull was, but loved this song. It was from his debut album called Miami, which came out in 2004. And the chorus is basically a bunch of stuff in Spanish, and they just shout, Culo.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know the song?
Oh, that's what it means. Okay, now it all makes sense. Now I'm actually literally. Is that the one?
Culo.
Is that the one? Culo.
I don't.
I'm doing the synths in the background.
Oh, maybe. And that's
move your body, girl.
No, it's not. That's a different song.
That's a different. Okay, yeah, so I had to beat in my head.
Yeah, but that's a different song. So Lil Jon is on this one.
Of course.
I love Lil Jon so much.
Peace
what?
A town.
So everything he does is a scream.
It is, and it's just like one or two words.
Yeah.
And so this—I mean—that's basically why I love this song, because you're just shouting ass all the time, you know. And it's just that boom, 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 boom. You know, it's just really good.
Culo.
Yes. And he does sing in English, so the song is in English, but then there's the verse leading into the chorus is all in Spanish. So Pitbull is Cuban American, out of Miami, out of Florida, Miami-Dade County, and he was good friends with Lil Jon. So Lil Jon was a producer on the album and features on the album. So now this song was number 32 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 45 on the hip-hop and hot R&B singles and number 11 on the hot rap tracks. And it samples a bit of Mr. Vegas's song, for which the guys were sued.
Oh,
what?
Didn't get the cred.
And the song has been included on Billboard's 12 Best Dancehall and Reggaeton Choruses of the 21st Century. So it was a massive, massive hit. If you get the chance, definitely listen to our playlist so you can hear it. I do have some honorable mentions, actually. And I hope these are, I didn't check to see if these were on anybody else's list, but I don't think so. So Bambaleo by the Gypsy Kings, which is another really good tune. So if you've ever listened to the Gypsy Kings, they're really known for their percussion. And it's just really great percussive Latin music. I love their stuff. And then I've also got El Cantante by Mark Antony. Now,
Mark Antony.
Yes, another New Yorker. Just fantastic music. He's got a lot of really good catalog. El Cantante means the singer, and it was also the title of a film that he was in with, I think he was in it with J-Lo.
It was J-Lo, yeah.
Yeah, J-Lo. Oh. I think they were married for, were they married?
Yeah, they were married, right?
Yeah, they were married. Yeah. Well, yeah, they had two, they're twins together.
Was that who she had the twins with?
Yeah, with Mark Antony.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Okay, the gorgeous twins.
Yes.
And then Aguas de Marco by Tom Jobim, which is bossa nova, which is another genre of Latino music that I really, really love. So
beautiful.
That's all, yeah, that's all I got,
thank
guys.
Thank you, Asali. What lovely choices. I'm really keen to hear that. That was a very eclectic mix of five songs for our playlist.
They're all over the place.
All over. But I mean, that's, yeah, this music is so influenced from so many different things. Mm-hmm. So, and especially if we're talking about specifically Latinx U.S. music, I've recently come to discover.
Yeah. That's true. And the majority of these are Latinx.
Yeah.
Singers, except Celia Cruz, who's Cuban. Mm. So.
Well, beautiful. Well, stay tuned, everyone. We'll be back with Josh DeVetta's choices.
Hey there. I'm Parker, host of Misfigured Life. Misfigured Life is an educational podcast that respects your time and absolutely nothing else. Realistic steps to accomplish projects and tasks explained like you're just a little bit special and in less time than it takes other shows to even get to the point. It covers wildly varying topics from robbing a bank to tending a garden and everything in between. Stop ignoring the background banter podcasts and learn something you could actually use. At least one new episode a week, which day specifically will be a surprise every week. Probably subscribe or something.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
And we're back, and today we are talking Musica Latina. So that's right, all music by our Latin counterparts, including Latinx, which I guess is everybody. Yeah. I don't have to say that.
Who would be your Latin counterpart? Don't want to derail the episode, yeah, but I think that's...
That's a really good question. I don't know that I have one. Yeah. I would say Celia Cruz.
Obviously,
is probably the
Pitbull for you, Josh. Like, Ovi.
Yeah. No, I already have aspirations to look like J-Lo at 50. That's,
And Gracie, would yours be Selena Gomez?
How dare you?
Oh, sorry, Ariana Grande.
Like, come on. Someone a bit more adult, please.
That's right. Jennifer Lopez.
It would be like, I think it would be someone, I would want it to be someone like old school and brassy.
Yes.
Someone, that would be great.
Yes, that would be
But I don't
amazing.
Know if it's an audience vote or if I can choose.
You can choose. It's all for you. All for you. All right. We just heard my choices. Now we are going to hear from the amazing Josh DeVetta.
Hello.
Hey.
Beautiful. Well, I have my choice this week for this. I love all this music. I've gone for a very American pop crossover. Mm-hmm. You know, going into the stratosphere sort of thing of millions of dollars, etc. yeah. But I wanted to start, I'll only do one chronological order, just with the first song, and that is the song Conga by the Miami Sound Machine.
Oh yes.
Come on, shake your body, let me do that conga.
Any longer, feel the rhythm of the music getting stronger. Yep.
Do
that conga beat. Miami Sound Machine, I guess similar to like how Celia Cruz kind of like, you know, had a nice crossover as well, Miami Sound Machine, fronted by Gloria Estefan, icon of Latin music.
Yes.
Really bringing the Latin sound, you know, into the pop charts and it doing really, really well, sort of thing. And so they had like, you know, I guess Latin music in the background, but try to go as pop with the melodies as possible. Really, really, really great. I love Gloria Estefan's, there's another song that she does. Oh, because they're the original artist, I think, of, not original, that's a bad word to say. They did a remix of Turn the Beat Around.
Yes.
And it's really, and there's like a spoken word rap section in the middle that I'm really obsessed with as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's my first choice. Is there something about that song where it starts and your body just starts dancing? It's really, really like I think that I can dance conga really, really, you know. And all of a sudden, people start doing all the Latina moves and things like that. Yeah, so that's my first choice because it's a good party favorite. It's a floor filler, and it's also just vocally awesome as well. I like that the vocals are just as rhythmic as the rhythm section in the background.
Yeah, that is cool.
Which is cool. So that's choice number one. Choice number two, where am I going to go with this? I am going to go here. So there was a really, really, really big boy band in the Latin music community called Menudo.
Menudo!
Yes. And... Oh.
That's not what I meant.
No, you meant that. You meant that.
Yes, called Menudo. And out of Menudo came a... Oh, what do we call him?
A god.
A sex symbol. And then became a queer icon.
but we all knew this.
Yeah. Similar to Barry Manilow. It's like, we know. We're just waiting for you, darling.
I was like, he's not saying it. It's not true. It
exactly.
is not true.
Yes. And so Ricky Martin, who is definitely a torch when it comes to bringing Latin music. You know, his crossover was incredible. Mm. That whole first album with Cup of Life and She Bangs and all that was really, they were really, really huge songs. Even here in Australia, they were really, really big songs massive. As well. Yeah. I've chosen Live in La Vida Loca because I feel like that's like the the Ricky Martin song.
Yes, love it.
And I always remember thinking, because I was a kid, and I remember the girl had accidentally dripped candle wax in his chest. In the music video. And even then I was like, oh, that's a little bit like...
Was it an accident?
Confronting.
I
can't tell you.
But it was living the crazy life, right?
Yes, so but it was in the part where he's like, I woke up in New York City. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
In a funky cheap motel.
Mm. Yeah, which is really... Yeah, so this song was really, really huge. Just topped the charts everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, there was a time where Ricky Martin was like, you know, one of the biggest male pop stars on the earth. And he also, fun fact, he was in Evita when they did the revival on Broadway. And he sounded really good on the cast recording.
He's a pretty good actor.
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
Well, he just has to look at the screen and it also steams up. Like that's.
I just think about him and my eyes glaze over.
Yes. He's also a judge here on The Voice for a minute in Australia as well. Yeah.
Yes, he was.
So big love. Yeah, he's definitely, he's similar to George Michael, where I remember he was in an interview, he was like, you know, when I hadn't come out, I was, you know, or like, the gays loved me more when I didn't come out. Like, and then when he finally came out, it was like, okay, so we knew.
Like, sort of forbidden thing. Fruit.
Yes, yeah, similar. Yeah, something about the forbidden fruit, isn't there? Mm. So that's my second choice. My third one, I just love this woman so much. Her name's Shakira. Shakira, yes, Shakira. And back in 2001, or in Australia it was 2002, but in 2001 she had a album called Laundry Service. Mm-hmm. And her pop crossover was also really, really huge. In the late 90s and early 2000s, Tommy Mottola, who was Mariah Carey's husband, really was actually signing all these Latino artists because he wanted to give them the full machine of, like, you know, record labelness, so to speak, and they were like topping the charts everywhere. Like, they were,
he was the driving force behind
that. Behind that whole little, he was the one that signed J-Lo, Shakira, like so many different artists.
Was part of his signing to do with sticking it to Mariah, or did that come after?
Part of signing J-Lo was sticking it to Mariah. And we'll talk about Jennifer Lopez in a moment. I promise you. I've chosen Whenever, Wherever because iconic.
That was her first single, right?
Her first single from that album. And of course, my favorite lyrics are, lucky that my breasts are small and humble, so you don't confuse them with mountains.
And just as a child, yeah, listen, I'd be yeah, like,
exactly. chuckling. But also just the rhythm, because I feel like the lyric doesn't scan well with the rhythm very well. Like, so yeah, she's like, look at my breasts are small and humble so you don't confuse them with mountains. I'm like, I don't like that little break.
It doesn't rhyme.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for me.
No, and lucky I have strong legs like my mother to run for cover when I need it. I mean.
I just, you know, I'm jealous of small chested women.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, she's not that small chested, I think. You reckon?
Well, compared to me, yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah, but like, oh, sure. Yeah, I guess so. But I also loved like her, like the way her hips moved is like jelly. Yeah, she had another single called gorgeous. She Wolf, which was like her last really big pop single before Waka Waka, which was a huge song. Like that was the official FIFA Cup, because I think it was the Rio FIFA Cup or something like that.
Right, okay.
Apparently it was the highest selling single worldwide.
Wow.
Because of the soccer and also, I shouldn't say soccer, football.
Football.
And everything like that. But yeah, whenever, wherever, like, do I have to say anything else? Like, and just she's on that mountain and she's doing her hip thing and like, who looks that good in a pair of jeans? Like,
yeah.
Really, really cool. And she's very talented. She could play like guitar, piano. Yes. She was in the Super Bowl performance this year. And she's also part Turkish as well. And I love that she did like an homage to her Turkish roots as well.
Is it
with
Turkish
the whole,
or Lebanese?
Oh, Lebanese. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I love that she did the whole like rope dancing thing, which was like so controversial because
why?
Her and J-Lo got a huge like
people lost their shit.
Yeah, just
in
because
America.
They were like, it was so sexualized, blah, blah, blah. But I guess like
the Karens came together.
Oh, the Karens definitely came together.
It was the 1 million Karen march on Facebook.
I do remember
what?
Hanging about that.
Yeah. But like I watched it and I was actually quite inspired by it because it was just like, and also I love that they had two different dancing styles. Like Shakira's way less I don't want to say polished, but like she really throws her entire body. She doesn't care about beautiful lines and everything. She just cares about
loose belly dancing thing.
Yeah,
right?
It's very Middle Eastern.
Mm. Which is a great segue because my next choice is a J-Lo song anyway. Jennifer Lopez.
Yes.
Started out as an actress, that's actually wrong. She started out as a dancer on Living Color, which was a show back in, it was a New York show?
It was a California show.
California show.
The Wayans Brothers.
And choreographed by Rosie Perez, who's also
On
The View. And absolutely. And then she got into film and she was the first ever Latin actor or actress to earn $1 million from a movie.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
You know, she played Selena.
You're all jumping ahead of my segues.
Sorry,
but No. But first actress to first Latin actress to get $1 million or actor and slash actress to get $1 million. She got a Golden Globe nomination for that movie as well. And the song I've chosen is "Waiting for Tonight," me too. Now, "Waiting for Tonight" was the second single from On the Six. I just love that everything was all New York, like On the Six, like, you know, I'm from the Bronx, let's talk. This is pre-Jenny from the Block as well. This was pre her foray into R&B, when she became the R&B icon that she is today. And what I like is that, so "Waiting for Tonight" was already a song. And it was a Europop song, basically. And it was like a real like club banger. You would hear it in like Prague and all that kind of stuff. And it was by this little white trio of girls. And
it was actually beautiful. I've heard the original.
Yeah, and they're not too far removed from each other. What they did with J-Lo's thing is they wanted to really solidify the whole she's a Latino. And that's why they added the flamenco guitars in there and things like that. And it's also, it came out just before the end of the millennium. So the whole video is about the countdown to it being midnight in the year 2000, everything like that. And like, when I look at like her early part of her career, they pumped so much money into her, like that, not as in like fillers, as in like into
face full of money,
but into like the distribution and the promotion. Like there was only like a year difference between On the Six and her second album J-Lo. And I remember like when we watched Tellyers, when I was in, I sound so British, when we got
the telly.
And you would be watching a movie and then there'd be ads. Every ad was Jennifer Lopez is J-Lo. Like that was the whole thing.
She was everywhere.
Yeah, because she is part of the whole Tommy Mottola wanting to pit her against Mariah because Mariah was doing really, really well without him. So and everything like that. I also just love, like, I think the melody is really, really like just nice and easy. It's smooth.
Yeah, it is.
I love the lyrics. what is it? I remember it used to be so naughty, like tossing and turning, emotions were strong. And I'd be like, oh, they're talking about sex. Because I think I was only in like grade six when the song came out.
Oh, that's so cute.
And she looks so hot. Anytime I see green laser beam lights, I always think of that video as well.
Yeah.
And I liked it in the Super Bowl performance when she got on the pole, because she did a whole pole dancing thing at the beginning of the song before she started singing. And that was the whole, like, you know, it's so sexual. Many Karens. And but they also did like the projections of green beams as well. It's like, oh,
so it's like classic JLo.
Classic JLo, that. Yeah, as I said, pre-Journey from the Block and all that kind of stuff. So shout out to JLo. She's definitely a legend, I would say, amongst pop radio music for sure. But I think her marriage to Marc Anthony really helped with her crossover. Into the Latin, because it's really funny. Her crossover was opposite. It was starting out in America and then getting into the Latin American charts and that kind of stuff. And she's definitely a rom-com queen as well. Like, I love a Friday night by myself watching a JLo rom-com.
Yes.
Made in Manhattan, I've watched many times by myself.
She's got great comedic timing.
And her manager, Benny Medina, who has managed basically nearly her entire career, has really done well to, now that she's older, she's still synonymous with so many different.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Things like when you think about, oh, what do you want to look like as a glamorous, and you think about maybe Jennifer Lopez or something like that, and she really was a part of that whole pop star movie actress having a perfume and branding her own perfume. Remember J-Lo Glow? That was like the first.
Yes.
All that kind of, and then so many other celebrities after that just started pumping out perfumes like there was no tomorrow sort of thing. And so really, really cool. Love J-Lo. The next which I think it might be like my last choice, actually.
Maybe.
Yes, it is. Yes. And although, that's right. This is my segue. So Jennifer Lopez, her first really big Hollywood film was when she played Selena in the biopic Selena, which is on Netflix. You can watch it actually currently.
Oh, great.
And was it a Golden Globe nominated performance? And so Selena, as we know, we've already established in Asabi's choices. She was from Texas, or, you know, with the whole, that's why there's a difference between like actual Spanish cooking and Latina cooking and Tex-Mex.
Yes.
Because they're from different origins.
It's a mix of American, Mexican cuisine.
Exactly. So nachos and all that, like, it really more Tex-Mex than your tacos and quesadillas.
Chimichangas.
chimichangas, all that kind of stuff. And anyway, I chose, this was like probably her biggest pop song, and it was called, If I Could Fall in Love Again. If I Could Fall in Love with you, sorry. And if you hear it, it's definitely her most pop sounding. It's like a ballad almost, but it's really nice. It goes, if I could fall in love with you forever, or whatever the lyrics are, and I remember it, but it got really, really, I think the critics really criticized it for being just a bland pop song, but her fans, like, she could have, exactly. So I was able to like get it was actually quite a chart climber as well because of the fans. And I really, really, her story is really, really interesting because it was like, she started off being like it was a family band. And then once labels and corporate started getting involved in her story, that's when I think it really started tearing them apart a little bit as well. And then I think she had fallen in love with like some guy that wasn't really like a doctor or anything like that, and the father didn't approve, and you know that classic storyline of he's not good enough for you, etc. But it is a really, really beautiful song. She sounds stunning on it too, and I think I've heard Jennifer Lopez sing it as a tribute to Selena one time. And no one can sing it like Selena, darling. That's all I have to say.
She had a very beautiful.
That's right. But that's my five choices.
Oh, fantastic! Thanks, Josh. That was great.
Oh, do I have any?
Honorable mentions?
Wait, just let me quickly check. No, I don't. But I have a good flop.
Same.
So do
Same.
I. Oh, that's beautiful. You know, I want to just quickly on If I Could Fall in Love with You, that tune. It was also released in Spanish. So she did a Spanish version as well.
I think I've heard it on Spotify, yeah.
And it was huge. It was just massive. Even the Spanish language one was massive in the U.S., so everybody, gorgeous. Yeah, they just, you'd hear both versions. And it was rare to hear non-English language music on a pop station. But
oh, absolutely, yeah.
They would play that tune. So it was beautiful. Oh, thanks, Josh. That was great. All right, we're going to take a short break and then we'll be back with Gracie Mack's choices.
You've got to kill your darlings, as the writer's adage goes, and I want your help killing mine. Are you a lover of the fantasy adventure novel? Have you ever wanted to add a class at Hogwarts? Or rearrange the nations of Middle-earth? Perhaps you'd redesign the alethiometer, or tweak the cosmos of the Discworld. Now's your chance. Kill My Darlings is an interactive fantasy writing podcast where you take on the role of editor and give feedback on a brand new world as it's created, or just vicariously enjoy the writing process. I'm waiting for you to kill my darlings right now, wherever you listen to good podcasts. Kill My Darlings is proudly part of the That's Not Canon Productions podcast network.
And we're back. Thank you for listening, everybody. Well, we've had a lovely, lovely time so far talking about, what do we call it? Musica Latina. Musica Latina. Musica Latina. I sound so Australian. Latina. Yeah, yeah. Got yourself a Latina.
Musica Latina.
Yeah. And you know, we've had some really, really great choices so far. I can't wait to dance in the car to this playlist personally. And now we're going to throw it over to the irreverent Gracie Mack, and she's gonna program in her five choices for the Shuffology playlist this week. Tell us what you're going on, girl.
Okay, so when we first decided to do this genre world of music, the first band that popped into my head was Buena Vista Social Club. Ooh. They popped into my head for a couple of reasons. One, because I saw them live by accident and was so thrilled to walk in. I walked into a bar in Belgium and they were playing
as
a few years ago. It's not the band. Pretty much everyone from the original band is dead.
Oh, no.
but it's, you know, they've carried on the tradition of the music, and it was the new Buena Vista Social Club. But the song I've chosen is their signature song called Chan Chan.
Chan Chan.
Chan Chan.
And what does that mean?
Well, Chan Chan is a person. It's the name of a character.
Okay. Right.
But it's a story. The lyrics tell a story of, they're in Spanish, Cuban Spanish, and they tell a story of like this kind of nursery rhyme between Juanita and Chan Chan, and it's just this cute little story that kind of, yeah, it doesn't really have any kind of point. But, you know, like the lyrics are just kind of like this sweet little nursery rhyme that the composer remembered, and it evoked this feeling that he started to write about.
That's cute.
Put music to. But this band, they were born out of this incredibly thriving era of music in Cuba, this pre-Castro era in the 40s and 50s, where music was just this incredibly prolific era for Cuba then. And then everything kind of got shut down. All of the clubs, the Havana Club, the Buena Vista Social Club, was a members-only club, and they got shut down in, I'm going to say, the 60s, I'm pretty sure. Didn't
yeah,
that down.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. When they had some puritanical president come in, or very heavily Christian, shall we say, not necessarily puritanical. Mm-hmm.
Was that Castro?
No. Yes, it was. yeah, don't quote me. No, don't quote me on any of this. Even though I'm on a podcast. So then in 1997, the group was formed of members from a couple of the bands that used to play at the Havana nightclub. So they were already pretty old. A bunch of them were like 70 and 80, the main people of this band. It was like usually around 12 to 13 piece band that played classic Cuban music. And it was the people that basically originated playing this music. So it was very authentic and beautiful the way that they played. And this is the group's signature song from this one and only album they ever recorded together. But they've toured heaps. They toured this album and it was met with worldwide success. It was, especially for a world music album, worldwide did very, very well. It won a Grammy in 1998 for Best Traditional Tropical Latin Album. Mm-hmm. This tropical thing I wasn't very familiar with, but it's trying to give this broad thing from Caribbean, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
not sure how long that category, if it's still around or not.
I don't
know.
Like
a drink category, to be quite honest.
Yeah, tropical is sort of
yeah,
tropical
music. Yeah, I thought it was
kind of weird. Yeah. Anyway, so in 2003, the album was rated 260 on Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Albums of All Time.
Oh, wow.
So it's very, very iconic. It's very iconic for Latin music in general. One of only two albums to be produced in a non-English speaking country on that list.
Right.
So there's only two albums that were non-English speaking or from non-English speaking countries. It won Tropical/Salsa Album of the Year by a group at the 1998 Billboard Latin Music Awards.
Right.
So there you go. That's my first choice. And I was in Belgium and on like a couples trip, like me and my ex and two of our couple friends were walking around and we went to this bar. And me and my friend Paula, who were the girls,
shout
and the
out
couple
to
friends, shout out to Paula, walked in. And it was when it was a social club playing. It was so thrilling, and the dudes didn't know who they were. But we had a great time. It was very exciting, and they did play this song, much more upbeat than it is on the album. It's this very like lovely kind of, I don't know. It's not melancholic, but very what's the word where you evoke past memories? Someone hit me with
nostalgia.
Very nostalgic.
Asabi and I got a
good
cut for that. Because we said that at the exact same time.
Yes, we're your lexicons.
Moving on to my next choice. I've got every single one of my choices is a pioneer of some sort or someone that's really, really carried the music over to something else or just got it really happening in the mainstream. So my next choice is Paco de Lucia. Are you familiar with this virtuoso flamenco player?
No.
No?
No.
So it's his most famous song, which is Entre Dos Aguas. And he's a Spanish guitarist, famous for flamenco, but he really, so many of my guitarist friends just froth over this guy. They just talk about him being the best guitarist in the world and no one's ever come close to him, blah 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 blah. So he was pioneer of new flamenco in the 70s. He kind of brought it up by using influences of classical and jazz guitar to bring it into this new world. This song was a breakthrough track from his first album. And the album originally flopped. The Spanish audiences were not interested.
Wow.
But he had a team of reps that really pushed hard to have this particular single re-released as a single. And it went really well after that. And then everyone warmed to the album, suddenly came late to the game. he achieved international fame by doing collaborations with an English guitarist, John McLaughlin, and an American guitarist, Aldo Meola. They did like these very... like incredibly impressive musically. I mean, you don't have to know much about guitar, which I do not, but you don't have to know much about guitar to be very impressed by the way that they play their instruments in these. You can go watch their live concerts and they're very thrilling to watch. Entre Dos Aguas is considered a masterpiece of flamenco and it's Paco's most well-known song worldwide, as I said. The song, though, was an improvisation. It was just kind of a jam that happened. They had the rest of the tracks on the album done and the producer felt it was incomplete, so they kind of requested if they could make something up. And they did, and it was his most famous song ever. And it's so his, I mean, you'll hear it on the playlist, everyone. His style of playing is, it's so thrilling. He has, I mean, it's fast and technically impressive, but it also has, he incorporates these really interesting melodic and rhythmic elements that give it this just like incredibly full sound that is so amazing. That's just one guitar playing. He does have a rhythm guitar, his brother, playing in the track as well, but anything he plays, it just sounds so full and beautiful. Paco de Lucia is not his original name. He was born in this small town in Spain and there were so many Pacos, so many Pacos and Pablos that people couldn't differentiate. So to be able to do that, they would give them their mother's name. So it was like Paco's mother's name was Lucia and it was Paco of Lucia. Yeah. And that's what they would do to differentiate. Aww. And so he chose, when he was choosing a stage name, he chose to honor his mother, his Portuguese mother, Lucia.
Oh, beautiful.
There you go. Moving along. Mm. We got Tito Puente.
Yes.
The king of Latin music, he's very well known. He's a powerhouse. And he was going for so long. Is he dead? I don't know. Did he die?
I don't want to say yes to that.
He's very elderly. If he didn't,
I'll have a look.
Let's just have a quick little go. But anyway, the song I've chosen is his absolute biggest song. Oh yeah, como va?
Oh yes, great song.
Now this song, it did very well as Tito Puente song that he wrote, but then it did even better as Santana.
Yes.
Right. They did a very, very well-known version of it. And it's awesome. It's really great. It's pretty funny, though, because apparently Tito originally was not thrilled that an American rock group, took his song, but then he got his first royalty check and was like, it's cool.
He's American.
We're good.
He's American, though.
He is, but the fact that they were American rock. Santana was rubbed against his, you know,
and he heritage. He did pass in 2000. Tito Puente.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. He's been dead for quite a while.
20 years.
No, he
a generation.
He was instrumental in bringing Afro-Cuban and Caribbean sounds like mambo and cha-cha-cha to the mainstream of New York City, to the mainstream of everywhere, really, but to New York City where he was from. He's of Puerto Rican heritage, but yeah, born and bred in New York. The song was recorded in 1962 on his album El Rey Bravo. And I think it was the following year that Santana covered it. It wasn't very long after that they covered the song. It was inducted into the Latin Grammy Hall of Fame in 2001 and the Grammy Hall of Fame in 2002. But I believe it was the Santana version that was inducted.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Puente.
That's wrong.
That is a shame. But, like, it's a very cool version that Santana made. They added organ to it and, like, these, you know, it's just all these different percussive instruments in the Tito Puente version, but they added a rock kit.
And if it came out so close to his, it would be easy to sort of overshadow his version as
definitely,
well.
Definitely, definitely. And I think that once that song became popular again through Santana, he just put it back into his repertoire, back into his touring set,
it's
obviously.
Like,
yeah, just
mine.
To remind everyone, I assume. The song title, Oye Como Va, translates to Listen How It Goes. And the next bit goes, I think it's Mi Ritmo. I'm pretty sure that's the Spanish. And it means my rhythm. Mi ritmo? I think
Mi ritmo is my
rhythm. Anyway, listen how it goes. It's just, you know, I mean, it's kind of a half sentence that's continued on to the next thing. But it's just a really great vibe. It's been covered by so many people internationally. Mm. Like a lot of people, including Natalie Cole. She did a version of it.
Oh.
Lots of other names that I can't remember. And so... Because of this, because it was, you know, written by a Puerto Rican American and being covered by so many international artists, it serves as a really beautiful representation of the transnationality and hybridity of Latin music, particularly in the US. Moving along here, I've got a Jobim tune, Antonio Carlos Jobim.
Yay.
Hello.
Hello, Jobim. And the song I've chosen is, I think it's my favorite song of his. He has many, many beautiful, beautiful melodic songs, but I've chosen Corcovado, which in English, it's often called Quiet Nights and Quiet Stars. This song is so beautiful. It's just a really sweet bossa nova written in 1960. I think I first heard it in a jazz club in Brisbane that someone got up and sung. Oh, Katie Noonan got up and sung it. And I was so taken with it. I mean, she has a beautiful voice anyway.
Yes.
But singing on this song, I was so taken, I immediately went home and found out what the song was and learnt it. It's now a jazz standard. It's very common that it might be called on a gig if you wanted to sing or play a bossa nova. It's a long list of well-known names. Huge, huge amount of jazz famous people that have played this. My favorite version is on the Stan Getzen Joao Gilberto. Is that how you say his name? It's J-O-A-O. And the A has a little E on it.
J-O-A-O.
I assume it's a soft J.
Yao?
I think it's Yao, but because I don't want to mess it up.
If he's Brazilian, it'd be Portuguese, so it'd be with a Y sound.
Like
Jobim. Jobim is the same, but it's Yao.
I figure the J is seems
just call him
strange,
Joel.
Just call him Joe.
Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's whitewash everything.
It's so much easier.
So my favorite version is of this album with Stan Getz, who's a famous jazz saxophone player, and Hjalte Gilberto, who is a guitarist. And it's a 1964 album that Joe Bim also plays on, the person who wrote the song, and Astrid Gilberto, who's Jao's wife, sings on it.
Oh, gorgeous.
And so it's very gentle. It's melodic and light and true bossa nova fashion. It's named after Corcovado, which is a mountain in Rio de Janeiro. Now for my last choice, all of these, Joe Bim is one of the pioneers of bossa nova. We had the king of Latin music, Tito Puente, considered one of the best, if not the best, arguably guitarist in the world for new flamenco, Paco de Lucia, and the Buena Vista Social Club, which were the origins of Cuban music like son and bolero and all these wonderful styles. And it's very male heavy, my list. You know, I was a bit disappointed in myself when I realized, and I just picked those four.
Yeah, of course.
From my absolute favorite, just immediate heart choice. But so I shamedly had to Google female artists. I could think of many, but I was like, I wanted someone to match these pioneer levels.
Sure.
And these are all pretty old school artists that I've chosen. So I wanted someone, and it's very hard to find someone because it was so male dominated, and the media and record companies really pushed out females. They wanted it to stay as this male thing. So it was very difficult to make it as a female. And La Lupe did so.
Yay.
La Lupe. Pops up in popular culture quite a lot. She was Nina Flowers dressed up as her on Drag Race.
Yes.
She was this brassy, awesome singer that had a big rise in the 60s and 70s, and then Celia Cruz, one of your choices, Asabi, kind of took over from that. But before Celia Cruz came over and rudely swept the rug out from under her.
Out of the way.
She was known as the Queen of Latin Soul. The song I've chosen is Con el Diablo en el Cuerpo, which means with the devil in the body. It's from her first album.
Oh God, I found something
same
that
name.
Finally defines me.
It's this track. I mean, her main track that everyone thinks of her for is Que Te Pede. I think that's how you say it. But I chose this song just because I vibe with it a bit more, I suppose. And it's from her first album. And this was a huge album. It did really, really well. And it's the title track of the album. It's named the same thing, Con el Diablo en el Cuerpo. Her whole persona kind of shocked a lot of people. They're used to these usually large groups of men, lots of dudes playing lots of different awesome percussive instruments and horns and guitars, and she was this solo woman shaking her ass, basically.
Yes, get it.
And she was like brassy and full on. She gave this really, really hyper energetic performances, and a lot of people found it offensive.
Of course
it is.
Yes. I mean, it's the 60s, you know.
Yeah.
Karens.
And, you know, traditionally, the lyrics of a bolero, the style of music that she started, this album has a lot of bolero styles on it, were quite forlorn. They'd speak of a woman who was unlucky in love or wasn't worthy of a man's love, is a big theme, huge theme. And, you know, she kind of pushed the boundaries of that by being this self-possessed, empowered woman who's like, huge powerhouse voice. She's like belting the shit out of everything she sings, but started in this from this bolero style that was seen as very feminine style in a lot of ways anyway. So in the beginning of her career, so that's what she did in the beginning of her career. Then she moved to salsa and son montuno, more upbeat things that really vied with that intense energy that she would bring. And you know, in a heavily male dominated industry, which as we all know, you're fighting two battles, not just to be successful, but to be successful where others haven't been able to be. And she toured with Tito Puente. That was kind of how she got international success in New York City. She was the most acclaimed Latin singer in the 1960s for a while there in New York City, because she did a lot with Tito. Then that relationship ended, apparently a little bit controversially. I couldn't really, there was lots of random rumors of that it ended quite badly, but anyway. A producer that worked with her on several of her albums called her a talent hurricane. So that's La Lupe, and that's my list of five.
Oh, I feel like I just got educated.
Oh,
almost
same.
Like, get me out of the lecture room.
Hey.
No.
I loved it.
No, no, I love it.
I can't wait to listen to I've been listening to all of these. It's been so enjoyable. They're very evocative of past times, which I love about Latin music. It sends you into the night.
It certainly does, and I think it also it informs emotions without words as well. Like that's which is a beautiful thing about music in general. Is you know, I don't understand a word, but I know that I know what I'm feeling right now,
and I
think that's a great way of communicating through instrumentation as well.
Yeah, I've got one honorable mention.
Please tell us.
Which I was going to put it in, but I preferred Corcovado. But it's another Antonio Carlos Jobim tune, The Girl from Ipanema.
Oh.
And I felt I had to mention it because it was the very first Bossa Nova that came about. So it was a very iconic song that was originally seen as trash in the Latin community because it was seen as like trying to appeal to an American market, because Bossa Nova, before that we had salsa, and it was this really... exciting thing, and Bossa Nova seemed like it was kind of whitewashing to appeal to America.
Right.
And it was sung in English on one of the first recordings by Astro Gubelto, so that was another reason why.
So
it seemed
Bossa Nova
like
is the Motown of the Latin music community.
And of course now it's embraced by but yes, its beginnings were not seen as true to Portugal or Brazil, to Portuguese, I should say.
Yeah.
There we go. Well, Grace, thank you for an amazing set of songs. I cannot wait to listen to all of them in detail. I'm a bit worried that I'm going to start obsessing over the sections that you guys have been talking about. So I might hold that playlist off until tomorrow. Well, we're going to have a small little break, and when we come back, we're going to go through our favorite segment of the week. Stay tuned. Well, it's that time of the week again. Is this episode 17, 18?
This is episode 19.
19. Oh, my goodness. See, I'm just losing count.
We're getting old.
Absolutely. I'm definitely aging like, not like a fine wine. So
like a good cheese.
Like an old fruit.
Yeah, exactly. What'd you call me, bitch? But I'm just like, so, you know, we've talked about amazing music. And of course, you know, just like the yin and the yang, the good comes with the bad. A great analogy for real life. And we're going to talk about one song that we're just not feeling. So we're going to start off with the Sabi.
Oh, yeah.
Let us know what your Latin Musica Latina flop
Musica
is.
Musica Latina flop is Despacito.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? I have nothing against Luis Fonsi or Daddy Yankee. Love Daddy Yankee.
Oh, but there's one other person on that track that you
thank
have
you
right with.
That they
one big old black mark.
Right?
That
the biggest. They should have known better. They should have known
and
better.
And he barely sang on the track anyway.
But he was on it, and it's nasty. And he released it himself, too. So he's released his own version featuring Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee. Whatever.
Oh, okay. Yes. Just turned it around.
So, So Justin Bieber. Oh, my God. Just putting his name in my mouth.
Look, that song nearly terrified me because it nearly broke Mariah Carey's record. So it got to the same weeks at number one, 16. And then Taylor Swift came in with a hot shot debut the week after. And we're like, Taylor Swift saved the record. Little nasty. that's a great choice. I agree with you 150%, Asabi. Can't wait for that to be on the playlist after listening to amazing Celia Cruz and everything like that.
And then you're going to have to listen to this.
Yes. You'll put it in the middle so it surprises you.
Exactly. All right, Grace. Well, after your amazing educational choices as well, what is your flop?
Well, looking for my flop today, I was with my love and we were looking at different options and he was like, what about this? I was like, it's not that bad. And they put this on, we're both like, turn it off. And it's Hotel Room Service by Pitbull.
Oh my God.
And I wrote here, Pitbull is trash.
Excellent.
So except for totally one of your options.
Culo.
Except for the culo thing. I mean, I don't like any of Pitbull. But
we got the hotel, motel, all of that here.
It's so bad and it's so out of tune. It's not even good basic music making because it's out of chin. Saxophone and then his singing with the saxophone. It's so grating and I hear that.
He doesn't sing. He should never sing. Pitbull.
Yeah, he should sing.
Put down the mic.
Yeah.
Yes. Sing. Put your glasses back on as well.
You just get to rap. That's all you can do.
I can do without.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your digression into why you
thank
don't like
you.
That.
Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome.
I also have a flop as well.
Yes, Josh.
And I literally wrote Anything by Pitbull.
Oh! I was so happy when I saw that.
Especially that whole bum, 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 uno, dos, tres. I know you want me. I know you want me. I know. And that song was so big too, which is even more annoying. I think it did really well in Australia. I think it was like top five.
But he's Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide.
He's like, and his stupid head and the 90s sunnies. Like, what are you doing? The 90s sunnies.
Coolo.
Yeah. But in 2011, Jennifer Lopez released a song called On the Floor.
Yes.
And he featured on it.
Yes.
And it bothers me that because of J-Lo, it went number one.
No.
And then... Like, I think it goes, if you go hard, you gotta get on the floor. He's like, shimmy, shimmy. No, no. How does that rap go in that song? La, 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 la. Tonight we gonna be it on the floor. Yeah, yeah. So that was really, really catchy. It was number one for like 10 weeks. It was like her resurgence back into the music industry. And she looked so good in it as well.
Oh, gosh, she looks so hot.
Yes. And, but Pitbull, I'm just like... Man,
there's another song that he features in. I can't remember, but he
of J-Lo's.
I don't remember if it's J-Lo or it. I can't remember what it is, but his lyrics. I'm just like, damn.
Oh yeah, there's
so
another song that. Another song that she released with Pitbull called "Dance Again," and it's like, I wanna dance and love and dance again. And then his rip literally goes, shimmy shimmy y'all, shimmy yeah, shimmy yay. I'm gonna go. I'm your own diddy dog all day. I'm like, talent, go away. Like, just no, I can't. So I'm gonna flop that rap as well. And that concludes another episode of Chefology. You know, congrats to Pitbull. He's been very successful.
Get on you, Pitbull.
Look, I'm sure he's crying on his bed of millions while I'm here in Brisbane.
He's only been around for 16 years.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. It was really funny. I remember someone got into like an argument about, because I think some guy had written on Facebook like, Pitbull is a waste of space. And some girl that I went to uni with was like, nah, man, you just don't know what good music is. And I'm going to leave the conversation there. And that's another. My name is Josh DeVetta. We have Asabi Goodman,
hi.
Gracie Mack.
Hello.
We're your Chefologists. Have an amazing week and get into that playlist. Have a good day.
Hey,
bye.
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 When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.